Hello and welcome to Spotlight on Asia on Radio France International. I'm Roslyn Hyams.
In Hong Kong this week, the Legislative Council voted out the executive's proposal for the introduction of universal suffrage ahead of the next major election date. It fell way short of the two-thirds majority required to pass it, garnering only 8 votes out of 70. 28 voted against, and the remainder, those who would have been in favour, walked out. In 2017, a new chief executive for China's special administrative zone will take up their functions for the fourth such mandate since Britain returned Hong Kong to China in 1997. All sides were disappointed about the result of the vote in the LegCo, but not for the same reasons. Beijing fears without this electoral reform, the boat may be rocked. Pan-Democrats are sorry the next chief executive won't be elected by universal suffrage, and also that the candidate's eligibility would not and will not be based on impartial criteria. Others, actively Beijing-friendly or not, backed the executive plan and accepted it as democratic and more fair than the present system. I spoke to political scientist Shen Dingli on the mainland at Fudan University in Shanghai. He says he can see trouble ahead.
Neither party is ready to make concessions. Therefore, there will be more confrontation. Beijing say my way, and those opposition parties say no. That's a pseudo-democracy. So if this were to continue, of course, no stability.
In fact, on the question of stability, Shen sounds plainly pessimistic.
What is stability? We order, you listen. And they don't want to listen. They want to take the street to demonstrate, so no business, no tourism, declining of Hong Kong's international ranking. That is worse than stability. That is declining of Hong Kong's economy, international competitiveness. So some people would go to the street to support the government. Some students would go to the street to denounce the government. Is this a stability? This is going to happen in the summer, in the fall, in the winter, next spring, in the next 2 years.
What do you think is the solution now?
No solution. If a student would be unhappy, they would take the gun to shoot the police. Police would arrest them to have a crackdown, tank would roll over. No stability. A government would say, I would do whatever to promote my reform. So the people who support the government would fight against the people who are against the government. People who are against government would fight against the police. This would happen. The student promised this would happen. There is a bigger risk lying ahead.
What do you think actually would change for the rest of China if universal suffrage had come in to Hong
Kong? Nothing changed. Even if they would have universal suffrage, we would not have. So whatever they do would have zero impact on the mainland. This is one country, two systems.
And that's set to continue then?
We would not use their system.
One country, two systems. The famous formula from Deng Xiaoping, who ushered in the post-Mao period of socialism with a capitalist faced in China some 40 years ago. This is what Emily Lau, the chair of the Democracy Party of Hong Kong, the veteran party of the pro-democracy forces in the special administrative region, wants to prevent creeping into Hong Kong. Hers was one of the 28 votes against the package on Thursday. Albeit, she admits, with a certain sadness. She says the pan-democrats must continue to push Beijing for what she considers, and they consider, are the real reforms.
Because the package was voted down, it would not be implemented, and the current abominable electoral system will continue. But that does not mean that we support this undemocratic proposal. So what we would do is to continue to push Beijing to reopen the whole discussion and allow Hong Kong to have genuine universal suffrage.
You're listening to Spotlight on Asia on RFI with me, Roslyn Hyams. Professor Shen, observing from Shanghai, has a different take on democracy in Hong Kong.
In Hong Kong, Legislation Committee. Among the 70 members, some 40 members support the government program. That's the majority. Some 27 people who disagree. They have the right to disagree, but they're a minority. But due to the formula, you need to get a vast majority, two-thirds. Therefore, the majority is not a majority enough to get a two-thirds. They fail.
That is also democracy, isn't it?
Therefore, we have to define, do we need two-thirds democracy or one-half democracy? Why 28 people can veto those 42 people? So it's not a democracy. It's the minority people make a decision. So they are against democracy. Democracy means majority. That is 50% plus one. But so Hong Kong is abusing democracy.
But that two-thirds majority has to do with the rule of law. It's the law of Hong Kong.
So we can revise the rule of law. China has changed the constitution 4 times. U.S. has added 14 amendments to its constitution. When the old law does not meet the majority people, you can revise the law.
Robert Chow is the co-founder of the Alliance for Democracy and Peace in Hong Kong. He's in the so-called pro-Beijing camp, those in Hong Kong who agree with the special administrative region taking the lead from the Chinese government and definitely not opposing it.
I think people want slightly different things. I think the pan-democrats are insisting that they should stand for, they should have a chance to become a candidate. But again, you know, the system says that you still got to go through a pre-selection process. You know, it cannot be guaranteed that, you know, a political party or somebody from a political camp must be a candidate.
So at this stage, unless Beijing decides somehow to impose the one-person, one-vote system for the chief executive in 2017, the person to replace incumbent Leung Chun-ying will be nominated by a special committee and appointed by the Chinese government. Alternatively, Leung is eligible for another 5-year mandate like his predecessor Dong Qihua, so could be reappointed. In the meantime, Hong Kong's 70 LegCo seats come up for renewal in September 2016, so this could affect the balance of power in the Hong Kong Legislative Council, where half the seats are still allocated by functional or professional constituencies. Emily Lau believes that the desire for full democratic processes and governance in Hong Kong politics is spreading through all of society, even among those who are often considered less political.
I think that after the umbrella movement, quite a number of young professionals have taken a much stronger interest in constitutional reform. And of course, in some of the functional constituencies, they consist of professional people. And now the younger ones, whether they are doctors, lawyers, engineers, architects, town planners, nurses, physiotherapists, and so on, they all have this extra vote. And I hope that they will be very active in the election next year to help get someone who is pro-democracy to occupy these functional constituency seats. That would boost the number of pro-democracy legislators in the council of 70.
With a population which has grown by about 1.5 million in the past 20 years, or about 15% to over 7 million, Michael Davis, a law professor at Hong Kong University and longtime resident, says not all the fears in Hong Kong are about internal instability. In what has been mainly autonomous Hong Kong for many years, some fear the influence of Beijing and or the loss of freedoms most of all.
One would hope that rather than trying to punish Hong Kong after the vote or just leave things as they are, that Beijing would reconsider these matters, although they promised not to. So they've taken a hardline stance even on this. And so it would seem that Democrats in Hong Kong will continue to protest. The governance of Hong Kong will continue to be flawed, a kind of government by crisis at times when government bills are stopped by civil society protests and so on. And the perception of increasing Beijing interference in Hong Kong affairs will continue. This is one of the reasons the public has been demanding democracy, because they fear Hong Kong's autonomy is being squandered.
If in 1997 Hong Kong's future looked uncertain to many, especially to the pro or pan-democracy supporters, it seems even more so now, but on all sides. That's all we have time for this week in Spotlight on Asia. From me, Roslyn Hyams, until next time, goodbye.